Well, good morning, brothers and sisters.
大家早上好。
So, your brothers at Jefferson Park Baptist Church send you greetings this morning.
啊，你们的弟兄姐妹们在 JBBC 向你们献上问候。
So, well, before we begin thinking about our passage, I have a question for you.
啊，今天我们在开始今天的经文之前，我有一个问题问大家。
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing seems to go right, no matter how well you've planned?
你有没有过过这样的日子？你计划的挺好的，但那一天就过得乱七八糟的，没有一件事情顺利的意思。
I'm sure most of us have.
我相信我们都过过这样的日子。
Well, I'm a high school teacher.
我是一个高中的老师。
And 3 years ago, it was the evening of our school's baccalaureate service.
所以三年之前有一个晚上是我们的毕业典礼。
And actually, that service was supposed to be held here at First Baptist.
Oh, 那次本来是应该在这个教会的 FBC 举行那个典礼。
30 minutes before the service was supposed to begin, the power went out.
在典礼之前的30分钟，忽然所有的电力都没有了。
Dominion had no explanation for us.
然后电力公司也不知道怎么回事。
So we quickly moved everything we needed to this parking lot out back here.
所以我们呢，很快的把我们所有需要的东西呢，都搬到了外面的停车场上。
The chairs, the tables, everything, and we held the service in the parking lot.
椅子啊，桌子啊，还有其他所有需要的东西，我们就在外面举行毕业典礼。
But about halfway through the service, over the mountains, we saw storm clouds.
哦，所以呢，刚刚举行到一半的时候呢，后面的山上呢，就出现一大片的乌云。
And we could hear thunder in the distance.
我们可以听得见那个轰轰的雷声越来越近。
So we rushed to finish the service and get everyone in their cars before the thunderstorm came.
所以呢，我们急急忙忙的、草草的，举行了我们的毕业典礼，让大家赶快上他们的车。
Nothing went right that night.
所以那天晚上呢，所有的事情都很不顺利。
Well, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is experiencing a much more serious difficulty.
所以呢，在这个《使徒行传》呢这段时间里面呢，保罗所经历的不顺利呢，是更加的麻烦。
So back in Acts 21, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem to bring financial gifts to the poor.
在《使徒行传》第21章的时候讲到，保罗带了弟兄姐妹们资助耶路撒冷贫困弟兄的资金往耶路撒冷去。
And the prophet Agabus had warned him that he would be bound by the Jews and handed over to the Gentiles.
所以呢，先知雅加布已经警告过他了。他如果去耶路撒冷，他一定会被犹太人绑住，交给外邦人。
Though many urged him not to go, Paul was determined to go for the Feast of Pentecost.
虽然呢，很多的同伴们呢，催促他不要去耶路撒冷了，保罗呢，还是坚定的决定要去五旬节的节期。
So when he got there, James and the church elders came up with a plan to satisfy the Jews and keep Paul safe.
所以呢，当保罗到了耶路撒冷之后呢，雅各和其他的弟兄们呢，他们有一个非常好的计划，可以让保罗能够顺利的符合所有的犹太的律法，所以他可以比较安全。
And they executed the plan perfectly.
而且呢，他们真的是按照那个计划，一步步的好好的做了下来。
But did it work?
但是有没有灵呢？
No, not at all.
根本就不灵。
The Jews would have killed Paul if the Romans had not intervened.
所以我们都知道，那些犹太人几乎把保罗给弄死掉，幸亏是那个罗马人把他救了下来。
When the tribune could not get the facts, he agreed to let Paul address the crowd in Hebrew.
所以呢，当这个千夫长搞不清楚的时候呢，他就同意让保罗对这个犹太人用希伯来话讲一讲。
That's in Acts 22. But if anything, it made the situation worse.
这个故事呢是《使徒行传》22章，但是呢，当保罗讲完这些事情呢，那个情况搞得更糟糕了。
The tribune was going to flog Paul to extract information.
所以这个千夫长没有办法，他就打算用鞭打保罗来搞清楚这个事情。
But he stopped when he learned that Paul was a Roman citizen.
但是当他听说保罗是罗马的公民之后呢，他只能停了下来。
It's hard to know who is having a worse day, Paul or the Roman tribune.
所以呢，大家来看一看，这两个人的这一天都过得不好过，到底是保罗更不好过呢，还是千夫长更不好过？
Nothing was going according to plan.
所以没有一件事情按照计划在发展。
Or at least so it seemed.
起码从表面来看是这样。
And that brings us to our passage today.
所以呢，这就带到了我们今天的经文。
Now, the best way to understand a story is to tell the story.
所以呢，最好的办法来理解一个故事呢，是把这个故事讲一遍。
So that's what I'm going to do in 5 parts.
所以呢，我们今天呢，我要分五个部分来把这个故事讲给大家听。
Once we've told the story, we can see the central truth in the text.
当我们看到了这个故事之后，我们就能知道这个故事的中心的真理在哪里。
And once we see that main point, then we can make 2 application points.
当我们有了真理之后呢，我们就有两个可以应用的地方。
But first the story.
所以先来讲故事。
I'll go back to 22:30 and read to 23:2.
所以呢，我要回到二十二章的三十节，读到二十三的二节。
You can just go ahead.
Okay. 第二天，千夫长为要知道犹太人控告保罗的实情，便解开他，吩咐祭司长和全公会的人都聚集，将保罗带下来，叫他站在他们面前。保罗定睛看着公会的人说：“弟兄们，我在神面前行事为人都是凭着良心，直到今日。”大祭司亚拿尼亚就吩咐旁边站着的人打他的嘴。
So nothing this Roman commander has done has worked to find out why Paul is the center of so much trouble.
所以这个罗马的官长呢，他做的所有的事情呢，都没能够搞明白为什么保罗会引起这么大的骚乱。
So he allows Paul to be questioned by the experts.
所以呢，他就让专家们来审问保罗。
This council is the Sanhedrin.
所以这个呢是犹太人的公会。
The group that governed the religious life of Israel.
公会呢是管理犹太人所有的宗教生活的。
On it sat Pharisees and Sadducees.
在这个公会里面呢，有法利赛人，还有撒都该人。
The Pharisees believed in all the law, prophets, and writings.
所以法利赛人呢是相信所有的律法、所有的先知，还有所有的写作。
They embraced the supernatural and they did not trust the Romans.
他们相信超自然，但是他们不相信罗马人。
And they wanted to see everyone, from the priests to the working class, observe the law.
所以法利赛人最关心的是所有的人，包括是祭司，一直到一般的工人，都能够遵守律法。
The Sadducees only believed in the Torah, the 5 books of Moses.
但是撒都该人呢，他们只相信摩西五经。
They denied the existence of many supernatural things, such as angels and the final resurrection.
他们不相信超自然的事情，比如说天使，还有最后的复活。
And they were willing to compromise with Rome to stay in power.
他们为了掌权呢，他们愿意跟罗马人妥协。
The chief priests were all Sadducees.
所有的大祭司们呢，都是撒都该人。
And this high priest Ananias is a particularly unpleasant man.
这个特别的大祭司亚拿尼亚是一个特别不讨人喜欢的人。
His greed, his corruption, his willingness to use violence are well documented in ancient history.
所以呢，在远古的历史里面呢，他的贪婪、腐败和他愿意使用暴力都是记载下来的。
So his hostility to Paul is not a surprise.
所以他对保罗的恶意是不奇怪的。
Paul braces himself.Looks the council members in the eye and seeks to set their minds at ease that he is still a good Israelite.
所以在这个情况之下，保罗先是自己安静下来，然后他看着所有的公会人的眼睛，他要告诉他们，他还是一个好的犹太人，以色列人。
I think that's what it means that his conscience is good before God.
他要告诉他们是说，凭他的良心来说，他在神面前是一个好的犹太人。
But at the idea.That a Christian could still be a good Israelite, Ananias orders something truly shocking.
但是，当亚拿尼亚听说保罗讲一个基督徒可以是一个好的以色列人的时候，亚拿尼亚做了一件让人吃惊的事情。
He orders Paul struck in the face.
他命令人打保罗的嘴。
Leviticus 19:15 ordered the Israelites to do no injustice in court.
在利未记的十九章十五节，告诉以色列人说，你们事情审判的时候不可行不义。
And Deuteronomy 25:3 says that only a man found guilty may be struck.
在申命记二十五章二节也说到，只有恶人才能够受到责打。
What Ananias does is flagrantly illegal.
所以亚拿尼亚做的事情是明明显显的不合法的。
So let's keep going then to verses 3-5 to see Paul's response.
所以下面让我来读第三到第五节。保罗对他说：“ 你这粉饰的墙，神要打你。你坐堂为的是按律法审问我，你竟违背律法，吩咐人打我吗？站在旁边的人说，你辱骂神的大祭司吗？保罗说，弟兄们，我不晓得他是大祭司，经上记着说，不可毁谤你百姓的官长。
So why does Paul respond this way? Does he lose his temper?
所以为什么保罗这样反应呢？他是发脾气了吗？
Well, that might be understandable, but there are other elements at work here.
这是能够理解的，但是这里面可能有更细节的事情。
Jesus utters similar scathing criticisms of the religious leaders in Luke 11 and Matthew 23.
所以呢，耶稣自己呢也给了非常近似的严厉的斥责，对当时的宗教领袖们，在路加福音的11章和马太福音的第23章。
When the high priest had Jesus struck in John 18, Jesus protested that as well.
而且呢，当大祭司在约翰福音18章21到23节里面打耶稣基督的时候，耶稣也是有这样的回应。
And when it comes to criticizing the leaders of Israel who were wicked, there's a long prophetic tradition.
而且呢，是在犹太人长期的历史里面呢，常常有那些先知们来批评以色列的恶劣的领袖们。
Paul seems to be borrowing from Ezekiel 13, verses 10 and 11.
所以保罗呢，这里好像借用的是以西结书的13章第10到第11节。
Precisely because the false teachers have misled my people. Do you want me to go ahead and read the entire quote?
Yes, please.
And because when the people build a wall, these prophets smear it with whitewash. Say to those who smear it with whitewash that it shall fall.
因为他们诱惑我的百姓说平安，其实没有平安，就像有人立起墙壁，他们倒用未泡透的灰抹上，所以你要对那些抹上未泡透灰的人说，墙要倒塌，必有暴雨漫过，大便宝啊，你们要降下，狂风也要吹裂这墙。
So Paul is using Ezekiel to predict judgment against Ananias.
所以呢，保罗呢是引用以西结书来预告亚拿尼亚的下场。
And just a few years later, he would be proved right.
几年之后呢，保罗他是正确的。
Ananias would be executed by Israelite rebels.
所以亚拿尼亚最后是被以色列反叛的人杀掉的。
Immediately, those standing nearby rebuke Paul for speaking thus of the high priest.
所以呢，当保罗说这话的时候呢，边上的人马上就责备他，说他不应该这样跟大祭司讲话。
And Paul quotes the law correctly.
所以呢，保罗马上就引用了正确的经文。
Exodus 22:28 says, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people."
在出埃及记的第22章28节写道，不可毁谤神，也不可毁谤你百姓的官长。
But it's a little puzzling that Paul would say that he didn't know it was the high priest speaking.
但是看起来有点奇怪，保罗怎么会说他不知道那个讲话的人是大祭司呢？
How could he not know?
怎么可能不知道？
At a meeting of the Sanhedrin, the high priest would have been obvious with his distinctive attire.
在犹太公会的时候，他们聚会的时候，大祭司穿的衣服是跟别人是不一样。
And he would have been in charge of the meeting.
而且呢，他是这个组织这个会议的人。
It would have been obvious who the high priest was.
这应该是非常的明显知道谁是大祭司。
So if it's meant literally and straightforwardly, it doesn't make sense.
所以如果我们只是从表面看这段话呢，好像不太能够懂。
So scholars have proposed different solutions.
所以学者呢有不同的想对这个解释。
Maybe Paul had been away for so long that he didn't recognize the high priest.
也许保罗已经出去很久了，20多年了，可能不认识大祭司。
And we know that Paul had very poor eyesight from Galatians 5.
而且我们从哥罗西书第五章知道保罗的眼睛不好。
But neither of those really solved the problem.
但是这两个事情都不能真正的解释这个问题。
It still would have been obvious who the high priest was.
不管眼睛怎么着，大祭司还是蛮明显的。
So here's what I think, along with folks such as Augustine and Calvin.
所以呢，这是我的解释，而且我也跟我同样解释的还有奥古斯丁和加尔文。
I think Paul is being ironic here.
我认为保罗这里是在讽刺。
I think he's being sarcastic.
他是用嘲笑的说法。
Let me rephrase what Paul says.
让我们来重新来重新讲一讲他真正的意思。
So he's actually quoting Exodus to criticize Ananias.
他是呢是引用出埃及记来批评亚拿尼亚。
How could I recognize you as the high priest?
我怎么可能认得出你是一个大祭司呢？
When a true high priest, one who teaches the law and is worthy of honor, would never have done what you just did.
因为如果是一个真正的大祭司，后来谁是这个人是教律法的，而且是有尊贵荣耀的，会做你这样的事情呢？
See, Paul's know that there will be no justice for him today.
所以呢，到这里呢，保罗知道呢，今天呢，公义是不会临到他身上了。
Everything is going wrong. Everything is going sideways.
所有的事情呢，都在四分五裂。
So in verses 6-8, Paul takes a different tactic.
所以在下面的三节里面呢，保罗呢用一个新的一个方法，我来给大家读一下。保罗看出大众一半是撒都该人，一半是法利赛人，就在公会中大声说：“弟兄们，我是法利赛人，也是法利赛人的子孙。我现在受审问，是为盼望死人复活。”说了这话，法利赛人跟撒都该人就争论起来。会众分为两党，因为撒都该人说没有复活，也没有天使和鬼魂，法利赛人却说两样都有。
So Paul knows he's not going to get justice here.
所以呢，保罗已经知道了，公义是不在这里的。
This council ruled by this wicked and false teacher will convict him of crimes for which he is not guilty.
所以呢，这个公会呢，因为有这些不公义的假教师，会一定为他没有犯的罪来定他的罪。
So Paul decides to exploit the differences between the Sadducees and Pharisees.
所以呢，保罗就决定呢，来利用撒都该人跟法利赛人之间的分歧来处理这个事情。
If he can split the council, then it's his best chance at getting a fair trial later on.
所以呢，他如果能够让这个公会能够争论起来呢，他后面呢肯定有机会有一个比较公正的审问。
So it's okay to believe that God is sovereign.And still to use your wits.
他说我们知道神是大能的公义的，但是我们呢还是可以用自己的头脑。
And this allows Paul to focus on the most important issue.
因为这样的话可以让保罗来注重于最重要的事情。
On the fundamental issue of Christian doctrine, the resurrection of the dead, the Pharisees were closer to the truth.
如果我们从基督教的根本教义来看的话，就是死人的复活，法利赛人呢是比较接近于事实的。
Paul himself is a Pharisee.
保罗自己呢是一个法利赛人。
And so Paul announces that he is on trial for believing in this great hope.
所以保罗呢就宣称，他之所以在这里受审呢，是因为他相信这个死人复活的盼望。
This is taught in Isaiah 26:19. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy.
这是在以赛亚书26:19写到的，死人要复活，尸首要兴起，睡在尘埃的啊，要行起歌唱。
Or Daniel 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
也正如但以理书12:2写到的，睡在尘埃中的必有多人复醒，其中有得永生的，有受羞辱永远被憎恶的。
And central to that hope is the resurrection of the Messiah himself.
这个盼望的中心呢，就是弥赛亚他自己的复活。
So Psalm 16:10-11, For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
所以在诗篇16:10-11写道，因为你必不将我的灵魂撇在阴间，也不叫你的圣者见朽坏，你必将生命的道路指示我，在你面前有满足的喜乐，在你右手中有永远的福乐。
Or Isaiah 53:12, Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death.
也如以赛亚书53:12写到的，所以我要使他与伟大的同分，与强盛的均分掳物，因为他将命倾倒以至于死。
Israel's great hope was the resurrection of the dead.
以色列人最大的盼望就是死人的复活。
And this hope is what the gospel turns upon.
这也是我们的福音的根本的点。
Paul understands that. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain.
保罗也是深深地理解这一点，所以他在哥林多前书写道，若没有死人复活的事，基督也就没有复活了。若基督没有复活，我们所传的便是枉然，你们所信的也是枉然。
That's in 1 Corinthians 15.
这是哥林多前书的第15章13到14节。
The heart of the good news is that Jesus Christ died for sinners.
所以我们的好消息的中心就是耶稣基督为罪人而死。
Why did he die?
为什么他要死？
The reality is that each of us has broken God's laws by doing what we ought not do and by not doing what we should do.
因为现实就是这样的，我们每一个人都违背了神的律法，我们做我们不应该做的事情，我们不做我们应该做的事情。
Each of us owes God all we have and all we are, and all of us have willfully earned his just judgment.
所以我们每一个人都亏欠了神。我们所有的，我们所是的，还有我们所有都是故意的，来争取的，挣得了我们应得的公义的审判。
But in His mercy, God becomes a man, Jesus Christ, and lives the perfect life you and I owe.
但是因着他的怜悯，神成为一个人，耶稣基督，他活出了一个完美的生命。你我都亏欠了生命。
And he dies the death you and I deserve on a cross to satisfy divine wrath against sin for all who believe in him.
然后呢，他又在十字架上，为我们而死，因为这本来是我们应得的。他的死来，满足，神公义的暴怒，对所有的，对所有罪人的暴怒。
But he doesn't stay dead. Go ahead.
但是他没有就这样死去了。
He rises from the dead to demonstrate that divine justice is satisfied and to offer new life to all who believe.
他又从死里复活，来让我们看到，当圣洁的公义被满足之后，给我们有新的生命，如果我们相信他的。
My friends, come to Jesus Christ and believe in him today.
我的朋友们，盼望你们来到耶稣基督面前来相信他。
And recognize that without the resurrection, there is no hope.
让我们要知道，如果没有复活的话，我们就没有盼望。
There is no assurance of forgiveness. There is no new life today, no eternal life tomorrow.
而且那样，我们也就没有赦罪的确据，也没有今天的新的生命，也没有明天永恒的生命。
Paul knew that.And so he proclaims it here.
保罗知道这个是信仰的经义，所以他在这里把它讲了出来。
And not only does he get to the heart of the matter, he also gets the result he wants with the council.
所以他这样的话真是两全其美。他不仅讲清楚了我们信仰的基要中心，他也得到了他这个公会里面要想得到的结果。
They are divided based on whether they believe in the resurrection.
他们呢，因为他们信和不信复活而纷争起来。
And that takes us to verses 9 and 10.
所以下面呢，让我来读第九到第十节。于是大大的喧嚷起来，有几个法利赛的文士站起来争辩说，我们看不出这人有什么恶处，倘若有鬼魂或是天使对他说过话怎么样呢？那时大起争吵，千夫长恐怕保罗被他们扯碎了，就吩咐兵丁下去把他从众人中抢出来，带进营楼去。
So maybe Paul was a little too successful here.
保罗呢，这里好像几乎是太成功了。
What starts out as a disagreement turns into an argument.
所以刚刚开始的一点点的不同的意见呢，变成了很大的争执。
The questions that some of the Pharisees ask in verse 9 are not designed to bring a peaceful solution.
所以呢，在第九节里面，那些法利赛人问的那个问题呢，其实不是用来达到一个和平的解决方案的。
Instead, they function like lighter fluid on burning charcoal.
那句话说完了之后，就好像把那个把汽油浇在燃烧的那个炭上面。
The argument then begins to turn violent.
而且这个争论呢，慢慢的就越来越暴力。
There will be no justice for Paul this day.
然后呢，这个今天呢，保罗是不会有公得到公义了。
There are no answers for the Roman tribune who is obligated to protect Paul because he's a Roman citizen.
然后呢，那个罗马的千夫长呢，虽然没有得到答案呢，他还是必须要保护保罗，因为保罗是一个罗马公民。
So to protect Paul, he seizes him by force and retreats to the soldiers' barracks.
他硬把保罗从犹太人手里抢了过来，把他们带回了军队的营楼里面。
And that takes us to verse 11.
这样呢，我们就到了今天的最后一节十一节。当夜，主站在保罗旁边说：“放心吧，你怎样在耶路撒冷为我做见证，也必怎样在罗马为我做见证。”
So put yourself in Paul's position for just a moment.
让我们呢把自己放到保罗的境况下想一想。
Your intentions in returning to Jerusalem were good and pleasing to the Lord.
你回耶路撒冷的这件事情呢是符合神的心意的。
You obeyed James and the church elders.
你也听了雅各和教会领袖的建议。
You actually did nothing wrong, and there was still almost a riot.
你没有做任何的错事情，但是还是有这样的暴乱。
The Romans almost flogged you.
罗马人几乎要鞭打你。
You sought to reason with your kinsmen and was unsuccessful.
你想要跟你的同伴们讲道理，但是没有人听你的。
You sought to defend yourself before the Sanhedrin.
你想要为自己辩护，在公会之前为自己辩护。
And instead got punched in the face.
但是别人呢，反而打你的脸。
Your words almost started another riot.
然后你讲了一句话呢，好像又要暴乱起来了。
And now you're in a Roman jail for your own protection.
最后呢，你只能躲在罗马人的监狱里来保护自己。
Your plan had been to leave Jerusalem and travel to Rome as part of another missionary journey.
你本来已经计划好了，耶路撒冷之后你要到罗马去。
That's what Paul had written the Roman church in Romans 15.
在罗马书的第十五章里面，保罗也写过这样的事情。
And now you don't know if you'll make it out of Jerusalem alive.
你现在都不知道自己能不能活着离开耶路撒冷。
Everything has gone wrong.
每件事情都搞错了。
And remembering all of that is what makes verse 11 so wonderfully encouraging.
当我们知道这样的背景的话，我们就更加觉得这个第十一节有多么多么的美好和鼓励。
That's why the Lord draws near to Paul to strengthen and sustain him.
这是为什么神要亲近保罗来鼓励他，来坚强他。
I want to think about this language of standing by. It means to be immediately present.
我呢，要大家想一想这个词叫 standing by, 就是直接的站在他的边上。
If my kids have a nightmare, I would stand by their bedside to make sure they fall back asleep.
当我们的孩子做噩梦的时候，我就会站在他们的床边来看到他们在安静的睡去。
When the groom marries his bride,He has friends who stand by to serve as witnesses.
当一个新郎跟他的新娘结婚的时候，他会邀请他的朋友站在他的边上来做他的证人。
If my friend is having emergency surgery at the hospital, I will stand by his family when the doctor comes to deliver the news, whether good or bad.
如果我的朋友在经过一个紧急的手术的时候，我一定会在他的家庭站在一起。当医生来告诉他们这个结果的时候。
Standing by does not mean that you send well wishes from a distance.
站在旁边不是说你远远的给他们一个好的祝愿。
Standing by means that you are there.
站在身旁意思就是你就在那里。
And the Lord stood by Paul.
主站在保罗旁边。
And he not only stood by, he made a promise.
他不仅是站在旁边，他还给他一个应许。
You will go to Rome to testify about me.
你一定会去罗马来见证我。
It might not be the way you planned.
这也许跟你原来的计划不一样。
But back in Acts 1:8, go ahead with that.
但是在使徒行传第一章第八节。
Jesus had told the disciples that they would be his witnesses from Jerusalem to the end of the earth.
保罗耶稣说过告诉他的门徒们说他们一定会为他做见证从耶路撒冷一直到地极。
From Jerusalem, Rome is on the other side of the world.
从耶路撒冷来看的话罗马就是世界的另一头。
So Paul, you will go to Rome to be my witness.
所以主对保罗说你一定会去罗马为我做见证。
And it's only once you get to verse 11 that you get what this passage is about.
所以只有当我们到了第十一节的时候我们才真正知道这一段经文的根本的意思。
Nothing had gone according to plan, but the Lord stood by Paul.
看起来没有一件事情按照计划的进行，但是主站在保罗边上。
Paul had faced physical and verbal abuse, but the Lord stood by Paul.
当保罗经过身体上的和语言上的辱骂的时候，主是站在他的边上。
Paul was now in prison, and to outward appearances, his fate was not clear.
保罗现在是在监狱里面，而且从外面来看的话，他的命运是不清楚的。
But the Lord stood by Paul.
但是主站在保罗边上。
And that's the main idea.
这是最重要的一个中心思想。
The Lord will stand by his faithful servants, both to strengthen their hearts and to accomplish his purposes.
主一定会站在他忠心的仆人边上，不仅是坚强他们的心，也是为了完成他自己的计划。
I'll say it one more time. The Lord will stand by his faithful servants, both to strengthen their hearts and to accomplish his purposes.
主一定会站在他忠心的仆人边上，不仅是要坚定他们的心，而且是要完成他自己的计划。
You've seen God's faithfulness to his people and his promises throughout the book of Acts.
我们可以看到神的信，神对他们的子民的信实，还有他的应许，在整个这个使徒行传里面。
Through imprisonments and persecutions, with missionary journeys and church growth.
通过被监禁，通过被逼迫，通过各种各样的使命宣教的旅程，还有教会的成长。
And here in a Roman barracks, the Lord literally stands by Paul to strengthen his heart and to accomplish his purposes.
这里呢，在一个罗马的军营里面，主呢真正是站在保罗的边上，来坚定他的心，也来完成他的目的。
So when we get that main idea, I think at least two points of application will follow.
所以当我们知道这个中心思想之后呢，我们就会看到两个重要的应用。
First, it will help us if we understand God's purposes.
第一个，我们要理解神的目的是非常重要的。
In other words, it will help us to recognize what God has actually pledged to do.
所以这对我们来说，我们一定要知道神他自己到底应许要做什么样的事情。
Here in Acts, God had promised that the gospel would go from Jerusalem to the end of the earth.
这里呢，在使徒行传里面呢，神应许了他的福音一定会从耶路撒冷传到地极。
So yes, Paul, you will go to Rome to testify about me.
所以是的，保罗，你一定会到罗马去为我做见证。
He had promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon his people to empower them to be his witnesses.
他也应许了圣灵必定降到他的子民的身上来让他们有力量来为他做见证。
And that is exactly what Paul experiences here.
这完完全全正是保罗所经历的。
But note that God does not promise that it will happen the way Paul had planned.
但是我们要注意的是神可没有应许这些事情会按照保罗的计划来进行。
He does not promise that the Jews won't try and kill him.
他也没有应许犹太人不会来杀保罗。
Or that he'll go as a free man.
他也没有跟保罗说你过两天就自由了。
He does not promise that Paul won't sit in prison for 2 years while a corrupt Roman official waits for a bribe.
他也没有说保罗他也没有应许保罗说他不会在一个罗马的监牢里面坐两年的牢 只是为了一个罗马的官长，希望他给他一些贿赂。
And that's what happens over the next few chapters in Acts.
过一段你看的时候就会看到这是后面发生的事情。
But God could be confident that he would make it to Rome.
但是神所应许的是保罗一定会到罗马。
And he could be sure that God was free to get Paul there in whatever way God chose.
所以神凭着自己的意思可以把保罗带到罗马。
Friends, I would encourage you to think much on the promises and purposes of God.
所以呢，我朋友们，我真的是要鼓励你仔细地思考神的应许和神的目的。
Here is one promise I have dwelt much upon lately.
这里是我最近常常想到的一个神的应许。
It's from Romans 8.
罗马书第八章。
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son.
我们晓得万事都互相效力，叫爱神的人得益处，就是按他旨意被招的人，因为他预先所知道的人，就预先定下效仿他儿子的模样，使他儿子在许多弟兄中做长子。
Whatever might come my way, the Lord is using it for my good.
不管在我身上发生什么样的事情，神一定是用这些事情来为我的好处。
And my good is my conformity to the likeness of Christ.
我的好处就是要效法基督的模样。
That becomes the primary way of interpreting the things that happen in my life.
这就变成我现在看我生命中发生的每一件事情的一个根本的目光。
Here's another promise I've been thinking a lot about.
现在还有另外一个应许我也常常在想。
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
你们若常在我里面，我的话也常在你们里面。凡你们所愿意的，祈求就给你们成就。你们多结果子，我父就因此得荣耀。你们也就是我的门徒了。
That's in John 15.
这是约翰福音15章7到8节。
How much ought such a promise encourage me to seek to have the words of Christ filling me up.
你们来想一想，当我记得这样的应许的时候，我有多么的渴望神的话语来浇灌我，充满我。
To have Christ's words filling my heart and filling my thoughts and filling my imagination.
让基督的话语，这是在我的脑海里面，在我的话语里面，在我的每一个的思想里面。
And how much ought it encourage me to pray with greater boldness for spiritual fruit in my life?
这样也让我也这样对我有多么大的鼓励，让我来在祷告的时候有更大的勇气来追求属灵的果子。
Paul heard Christ's words, and it strengthened him for the rest of the book of Acts.
保罗听到了基督的话语，这些话语让他一直坚强，直到所有使徒行传里面所记载的后面的事情。
So also should his promises and plans strengthen us.
所以也盼望神的应许和神的计划让我们也坚强起来。
So that's one point of application.
所以这是一个第一个我们的应用点。
Here's a second point of application.
现在是第二个应用的地方。
Christians need to expect opposition to the gospel, but cultivate faithfulness anyway.
我们基督徒呢，应该是预期对福音的阻挡，但是我们要在这阻挡当中，还是要让这些事情来浇灌我们自己的信心。
We do not usually know exactly how the Lord will accomplish his plans.
我们一般是不会知道从根本上神会如何来行使他自己的计划。
But we can be sure that the gospel will always encounter opposition.
但是有一件事情我们肯定知道的，福音总是会受到阻拦的。
Jesus promised it in John 16.
耶稣在约翰福音16章应许的这样的事情。
Paul expected it in 2 Timothy 3.
保罗也预期了这样的事情在提摩太后书的三章。
And if you think about the nature of the message and of the audience, it makes sense.
但是你如果仔细只要想一想这个福音的信息和听到的人，你就觉得这事情是很自然的。
Sinners don't want to be told they deserve judgment.
因为所有的罪人不希望听到他们会受到审判。
The self-righteous don't want to be told they need grace.
那些自以为意的人当然不希望听到他们是需要恩典。
Skeptics don't want to believe in something they cannot see.
充满怀疑的人不愿意相信他们看不见的事情。
Selfish people don't want to be told that their whole lives need to be turned inside out.
自私的人真的不希望听到他们整个的生命都要里外的反转。
Or that they need to submit all that they are to an all-powerful king.
他们不愿意听到他们要服从一个大能的君王。
You know from your own experience that this is what people are like.
我们通过我们的经历知道人就是这个样子。
How do you respond when you are told that the way that you do your job is wrong?
当你听别人跟你说你这样做工作是错的，你会怎么感觉？
How do you respond when you're told that the way you raise your kids is wrong?
当别人跟你说你这样教养你的小孩是不对的，你怎么想？
Or whatever else it might be.
还有其他各种各样的事情。
We don't respond well to being told that we're wrong.
我们都是这样，当别人跟你说你错的时候，你的反应都是不好的。
And the good news of the gospel comes with some bad news too.
福音这个好消息，同时也带来了坏消息。
So the gospel will always encounter opposition.
所以呢，福音呢总是会有阻拦。
Expect it, and then seek to be faithful anyway.
所以我们要预期这样的事情，然后要一直要信实下去。
When I do a major home repair.
当我做一个比较大的那个家里的修复修缮的时候
，I find it easier to know in advance what might go wrong, so I can adjust my expectations.
我比较喜欢先想一想哪些事情可以搞坏，所以这样呢，我的期望值可以低一点。
You know that testifying about Christ will bring opposition.
所以当你知道为基督做见证会遇到阻拦的话
，So now you know.
现在你知道了。
Adjust your expectations.
调整你的期望。
And be faithful anyway.
但是一定要信实。
Besides which, testifying about Christ is the only way to bear fruit.
而且我们一定要记得，我们为基督做见证是我们唯一的结果的方式。
And those who are faithful.
对那些信实的人来说。
Who understand God's purposes, who expect opposition to the gospel.
这样的人可以理解神的目的，也能够预期阻拦。
They will also discover something wonderful.
这样的人一定会发现很美好的事情。
They will discover that their Savior is standing by.
他们会发现我们的救主就在边上。
They will discover, as they read and listen to the Word of God, in the midst of success and failure, confusion and clarity, scarcity and plenty.
他们会发现当他们在读在听神的话语的时候当他们处于成功或者失败当中糊涂或者清醒当中贫穷或者富足当中
They will discover that the Spirit takes that word and whispers, take courage.
他们会发现圣灵通过圣经在他们的耳边轻轻地说话放心吧
Take courage, for your Savior is standing by.
放心吧，因为主就在身旁。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Lord Jesus,
主耶稣基督
we ask that you would take this word and write its truths upon our hearts.
主啊，我们真是愿意你把这些话语，把这些真理写在我们的心里。
Open our eyes and unstop our ears.
打开我们的眼睛，也打开我们的耳朵。
Soften our hearts.
柔软我们的心。
Help us to see and understand what you have for us today in the scriptures.
让我们能够看见，也能够理解你今天给我们讲的事情。
And help us to take courage and to be faithful.
让我们能够放下心来，然后一直信实到底。
In Jesus' name, Amen.
凭耶稣基督的名祷告，Amen.